This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. With the temperatures set to hit the 100 mark by next week, a lot of people need a place to cool off. So maybe it's a pool, a lake, or a river, and we have a lot of those all over Idaho. Most of us do know that drowning is the most hazardous part of using the water. However, there is another water danger that you might not be familiar with. It is called recreational water illness, or RWI. And over the last two decades, it has increased a lot. We're talking as much as 200%. Dr. Justin Semsrott, the Emergency Department Medical Director at West Valley Medical Center, as well as a water safety expert, is joining us live in studio to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And I have to tell you, I had never heard of this term. So talk to us about what exactly is recreational water illness.
So recreational water illness is tracked by the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and is a really big blanket term that can be any infectious or chemical disease that you can get from natural or artificial bodies of waters like pools. And it covers everything from skin infections, ear infections, to some of the diarrheal illnesses that sometimes accompany these.
So what kinds of, I guess, germs are we talking about here when we talk about RWI?
The most common that we think of are things in natural bodies of water like algae blooms, and in natural and artificial bodies of water we see Giardia, Cryptosporidium, and E. coli.
So the E. coli usually comes from that whole idea of, you know, not to be too graphic, but like, you know, diarrhea, or someone, you know, uses the water as a restroom basically.
Absolutely. And in addition to that, probably even the most common mode of transmission is just people with diarrhea, or even not with diarrhea, but that have been exposed. And so they have millions and millions of these organisms in their stool and may not even realize it. They don't wash their hands well before getting back into the pool, before getting back into the lake or the pond or the reservoir. And then other people ingest the water through play or splashing or things like that.
This does not sound fun at all, at all. So is there a germ that you see most, is there one that's, I guess, most common?
So from my view of the world in the emergency department, sometimes I see, I'm more skewed towards the ones that that are worse, not necessarily the most common. And what I see a lot of is the Giardia. And what's interesting about Giardia is it's this intestinal protozoan that is transmitted like we just discussed, but sometimes it doesn't produce symptoms for up to 2 weeks later. So somebody may have been camping, may have been at a friend's house that has well water, they have well water themselves, and then 2 weeks later they have intense abdominal cramping. And again, not to be graphic, but one of the hallmarks of it is this terrible foul-smelling diarrhea, and they go to their doctor, they go to an urgent care, and sometimes they seek care two or three times before anybody figures out what it is, because they don't really relate it to something that happened 2 weeks ago, because it's always, I just ate here, I just did this, and that's what they try and pin it on as a food poisoning or something like that.
So I was kind of surprised to find that you can get this, the RWI in pools, because there's so many chemicals in pools, you know, I mean, you have to treat a pool and all of that. So I would make the assumption that all those chemicals would kill off all this bacteria.
And they do. It just takes time. And that's the reason why we chlorinate pools. So for the really scary things that a lot of people think about, the bloodborne pathogens, the hepatitis, HIV, the really scary things like that, all of that's killed almost instantly in a properly chlorinated pool. And so what winds up surviving sometimes for 15 minutes for certain viruses, Giardia can live up to 45 minutes. And then the last one, the Cryptosporidium, can live up to 10 days, even in properly chlorinated water. And that's why, even though we always see the sign that says shower before entering pool, and I know I've been guilty of not following that, but that's part of it, is by rinsing all the other chemicals off of our body, the shampoo, the lotion, the deodorant, and as well as cleansing ourselves, we're getting rid of those bacteria, we're getting rid of those viruses, but also the lotions and things on our body are interacting with the chlorine as well, making it less effective.
Huh. I never knew why they had those signs, and now I know. You have finally explained it to me. We're talking with Dr. Justin Semtrott. He is the Emergency Department Medical Director at West Valley Medical Center, also a water safety expert. And today we're talking about recreational water illness. Now, you mentioned well water. So, you said something like, even if you drink a glass of lemonade, if you're at a friend's house that has well water, is that because something could potentially get in the well water? It is not that all well water would potentially have something like this. Yes?
Absolutely. So well water is typically and usually safe and doesn't cause complications, but it is subject to seepage from other natural water sources. And whether that's animals that are using the bathroom upstream that eventually seeps into the groundwater over prolonged periods of time, or there was a heavy rain and things just get naturally filtered through and make their way down to the well. But people with wells should have those tested regularly.
Where do things like, we've seen a lot of about this in national news recently, is this flesh-eating bacteria. Does that play into any of these types of bacteria that you're talking about?
So that's caused by a different type of bacteria. Cuts and injuries that happen in natural bodies of water are subject to a whole host of different bacteria that are often more can cause more injury than the standard stuff that we think of. And so anybody that has a cut or other injury that occurred in a natural water setting that seems to be getting worse should definitely seek care. The term flesh-eating bacteria, I think, is used a lot kind of as this sensational effect, but there certainly are bad bacteria that live only in the water that we've even seen in this area.
So let's get back to then with recreational water illness. What steps can you take then to try? Let's talk about prevention first and foremost.
So the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality actually has a website that shows these are the areas with either hazardous algae blooms or E. coli warnings right now. Obviously, it's a practical matter. They can't test every body of water all of the time. But look for those if you're going to areas, and don't drink from natural water sources while you're camping, while you're fishing, while you're doing some of those things. You need to pack your own water in or boil or treat the water appropriately. And then when you're at the pool, shower before you go in. If you've been sick, if you've had a fever, if you've had a diarrheal illness, you're not just putting yourself at risk, you're putting others at risk. And infants and toddlers should be in swim diapers. Don't change them at the side of the pool. Take them into the bathroom. Wash your hands. Wash their hands before going back in.
And if you start to have symptoms, talk about the symptoms that you should be looking at.
Usually it's diarrhea and abdominal pain are the big ones. And if your symptoms continue, you see blood in your stool, you have a fever associated with having diarrhea, then you should definitely go see whether it's your doctor, an urgent care or emergency department, just whoever's closest and most appropriate. And the highest risk groups are often the elderly, people with decreased immune system, and kids. And so it's possible to be healthy and not have major symptoms but still transmit these to those that are immunocompromised.
And as you said, a lot of these symptoms can take 2 weeks to show up. So don't make the automatic assumption that you got food poisoning.
Correct. And in the emergency department, we always like to joke, it happened right after I ate. Well, you've been eating three times a day for your entire life. And so everything always happened right after you ate something, but it may not have been that last thing an hour ago. This may have been brewing for a couple of weeks and is only now causing symptoms.
And how serious are illnesses like this?
Most of the time, they're relatively mild and easily treated with short courses of antibiotics, except in children, the elderly, and people with decreased immune systems. But it really does become a public health issue, because if one person has it and is able to spread it to 3 people, to 10 people who then continue to spread it and it increases exponentially, then naturally you're going to reach some of those at-risk populations as well. And so we try and control these cases as much as possible.
I want to thank you for coming in today. We've been talking with Dr. Justin Semtrott. He is the Emergency Department Medical Director at West Valley Medical Center. Thank you so much for coming in. And up next, a conversation with a Boise State University researcher who's out with a new study about the effects of an organic diet in pregnant women. Her findings might actually surprise you. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.